Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Our second show today on August 25th, 2022. We got our good old friends, formerly of the Kentucky Valley Educational Co-op, that wonderful ESA that's down there in eastern Kentucky. They were both there, Dr. Desi Bolding and Dr. Jeff Hawkins, and they now are co-directors of something called Rise Higher, which is an organization focused on the interconnection between education and community development in rural America. We're going to talk about that in great detail on this show today with Jeff and Desi as our guests, and I love having them back here. And it's the first of many, I hope, that we do together as they continue to build Rise Higher. We'll talk about how you can get in touch and all that sort of stuff. As I say, I'm Larry Jacobs. We're going to archive the show over at our home website, which is ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. And everything we do is over there. Everything's linked at teacher-retention.com. We've got some great PD stuff over there. You should check that out. Our awards program, the Excellence in Equity Awards Pre-K-12, you can nominate yourself, products, your school, et cetera, et cetera. Go over, check that out. Again, it's linked. Okay, nominations were just extended. We got a little busy with that, so they were extended. We also have SEL Today, our social emotional learning website. And, of course, this podcast is over there. Plus, we also have our magazine, which is called Equity and Access Pre-K-12, and you'll click on the cover. You can read the new back-to-school issue. We got a lot of stuff doing over there, so please check it all out. It's all for you, Pre-K-12 educators over at ace-ed.org. And now let me say hello to my old friends who I spent an hour on the phone with yesterday. Good morning, Dr. Desi Bolding and Dr. Jeff Hawkins. Ladies first. Hi, Desi.
Hi, Larry. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing very well.
That's good. Are you back down in Kentucky now? You're in Kentucky, right?
I'm actually in Minnesota. You know,
you are back in Minnesota.
I am. And, but I'm going home tomorrow. My sister gets released from the hospital tomorrow, so I'll be heading home.
Huge news, yes. Desi. That's great. That's wonderful. Wish your sister well. Have a wonderful trip home. Okay, and that concludes today's show. Thank you. No, I'm only kidding. Jeff, you there?
I am.
Yeah, the ultimate conclusion is that we get Desi's sister back home to Kentucky. That's all there is to it. Okay?
That's right. Most important things first.
You got it. So we set our priorities and all that. Jeff, welcome back, as always, to the show. I love having you here. Okay, you know that.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And
thank you, Larry.
You are welcome, my friend. And I just want everybody to know this. We started talking again. We never lost touch, really. But and one of the things that you need to know is that Jeff is very involved in the post-flood work. We all read about the floods last week, 2 weeks, no, 3 weeks ago now, in Neon, Kentucky. And that was front page news everywhere. And Jeff's actually from that town. And I just want to make the Jeff, just tell everybody before, you know, we're going to talk about the Rise Up and Rise Higher and all that, but I just want to get into it and just talk about how things are going on down in Neon right now. Just give people a bird's eye view.
Yeah, I think that their folks are moving forward. It's still a heavy load of work to be able to do. It's kind of mind-boggling to imagine the damage that was done in that community. But, you know, if you get 10 or 12 inches of rain in a 6 or 8 hour period, and there's nowhere for it to go except down the narrow valley and creek, then that's what's going to happen. But it was remarkable, the sheer numbers of folks and resources that came to the community to help people move forward. And we're at a stage now that there's still a load of work to do. And even last week, it was amazing that folks were still coming into a distribution center that had been set up in the local middle school and saying that they had just got access to get out. And this flood happened on July 27th. So it's It was a widespread event, I suppose. And yeah, you know, interestingly enough, go ahead. I was just going to say this morning I heard about the floods in Mississippi. They said that they were trying to determine whether that was a 1 in every 1,000 year flood, and it was, that would be the 6th event in the country in the last month. And that's frightening.
Well, I guess the last 6 happened 1,000 years ago, right? That's a joke. You know, these 1,000 year floods are happening every year and a half. Okay, and they may not be happening in the same place again, but they're happening. Okay, and we got to be, I'll let people draw their own conclusions about that. But, you know, all of this, and I wish your hometown well and all your family and friends down there, as everybody does. Okay, and I just, you know, just because the CNN left and all the networks left and the helicopters are gone, okay, with the cameras, doesn't mean the ordeal is over. All right. We have to just always keep that in mind. And you're right about Mississippi. Okay. You know, I hope they are okay too. You know, what can I say? So at any rate, let's get back to this, and good luck to everybody down there. And no, we can't imagine the scale of the devastation that this happens. Okay. Anyway. All right. You guys, and I mentioned this earlier, Kentucky Valley Educational Cooperative is one of the most well-known educational service agencies in the country, and you two and the team built it to have a national presence in rural education. Okay, and we know it all that. Then now you've left there, and tell us about Rise Higher. And I'll swing back to Desi for this one, the world famous Minnesota girl. You're not really from Minnesota.
Well, I think I told folks at the hospital last week, I guess it was, I said, you know, I've been here so long because they talk about my accent, you know, I don't really think I have an accent.
Yeah, you don't have an accent.
But
that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I told them that I'd been here so long that I've been start speaking like they did, and they thought that was kind of funny. But Ross Hire, Jeff and I were very fortunate to be at KVEC, and we took that as a challenge. I think that's one thing about rural people is that we accept challenges. And so back with KVEC, I had actually been there a few months, and I saw potential at KVEC. And this was more than, 20 years ago, probably 22, 23 years ago. And
I was 9 years old at that point. Desi was 9 years old at that point.
And I knew that if we had great leadership at KVEC, what a fabulous organization it could be. And so I actually mentioned to Jeff one day, I said, the executive director, he's not from this area. I said, and they're going to have an opening. I said, oh, we should apply. So anyway, to make a long story short, one thing with what Jeff and I, neither of us come from a background of teachers, and in fact we're both first generation college graduates. We had worked out in the world, and we knew how that the importance of having communities and schools working together, because just like with our own children, you know, we were involved with the school system even though we weren't employed there within the school system. So when we had that opportunity, then both of us then went into education and were teachers and were administrators prior to going to work at KVEC. And so once we got there, we really set our sights on looking at how to build that work between community and school. And so when we had an opportunity then to launch Rise Higher, that's what we wanted to do then. We really launched it as a bridge, bring community leaders and parents together, so that everybody was on the same page, because parents and communities, they want what's best for kids. We know that our educators want what's best for our kids. So having that bridge, that's what we are doing through Rise Higher.
And I just want to say, you know, obviously you did not plan the flood. Okay, the flood, you guys were developing all this, and then the flood hit. okay, right where you are, okay? And mm-hmm. and what Jeff said at the beginning, you know, suddenly, and Jeff just kind of actually just anecdotally said, you know, people just showed up at the food bank because they had no way to get there just yesterday. And the flood was July 27th. Today's August 25th. That's a month. Okay. But where did they go? They went to the school. All right. They went to the school. You talk about the school and community. And sometimes we forget the two are tied together. Okay. And that's what I think you guys are trying to do here. Jeff, you want to elaborate on that a little bit? How do you see the focus of Rise Higher? Dr. Jeff Hawkins, the man from New York.
I think that, as Desi said, one of the things that we really found ourselves moving to at KVEC was that pivot point where schools recognize that they are intimately connected to the community and community is intimately connected to schools. And both of them together, when they are able to have a common goal, can mm-hmm. rise higher simultaneously. And that's what we really are attempting to explore and create strategies, tools, techniques, and an understanding that if we want a community to improve, we have to have a school of excellence. If we want our schools to improve, the community needs to understand what school mm-hmm. does and how that school can contribute to today and tomorrow within the community. And
so, Jeff, I got to ask you. Do you, when you were at KVEC, you were administrator as well, okay, did you see that that connection wasn't there? Okay. You must have seen that somewhere, that the connection isn't as secure as it should be or something.
Yeah.
I think it's
one of those touchy things that, you know, you want to be thoughtful when you present the idea. But for decades, schools have been moving toward success measured on a state assessment. And that's how they determine whether or not they are successful, whether or not they are going to continue to operate independently, whether sanctions will be put on them to improve. But that focus on a statewide assessment really drew a school away from the community connection that it had. And when I say that, I don't mean that it was intentional or malicious. It was the way that schools were measured, and in order to be deemed successful, that's what they had to do. But it took the school out of a closer connection with community to be able to develop students, to be able to be vibrant members of the community as kids and vibrant members of the community as adults. So it wasn't that there was pushback against that interconnectivity of community and school. It was just that folks seemed to be going in different, sometimes parallel, but in different directions to talk about how do we improve the education system and how do we improve the quality of life for the folks who live in a community. In rural communities, the challenge, especially in the area right here that I'm in, of a boom-bust economic cycle and mm-hmm. continuing loss of population, yada, yada, yada. So we have to engage in the work of reinventing who we are as a community for economic stability. And
right.
Who we are for the quality of life and who we are for the way that we teach children. And one of the things, Larry, that I'll just mention, and I know we talked about it the other day, and
say it.
And it was really, some of your ideas were really good for us. But part of the work that we are doing is helping schools and communities build a culture of resiliency for their kids, for their community, for their faculty. And that notion of resiliency is really important. Whether or not folks are faced with a 1,000-year flood, or they're faced with, God forbid, a school shooting, or a bus accident, or whatever the tragedy may be, we need to build our schools and communities so that they are resilient and that they have a path forward to be able to come through those kind of events.
Yeah, you're not kidding. And, you know, it's interesting. First, I want to ask you this. I got so many questions just from what you just said, and you can both respond to this, but Jeff, I'll let you continue on this one. You know, one of the things, and this is a snobby attitude, okay, a lot of people think that the purpose of a school in a rural community, and I'll use your area or my area, you know, rural Maine, rural Eastern Kentucky, whatever the case may be, that the goal of the school is to make sure that all the kids leave and get better jobs and go somewhere else. Okay, they'll get a good education and get the hell out. Okay, now, that sounds good if your kid is in fifth grade, okay, or something like that. Okay, but it's your point is well taken. That's not helping the community. That's not going to help the community to survive. That's a mindset that's not good. Okay, you have to measure the future economic health of the company of the city, the community, okay, against what you're doing now. Where do you want it to be? Not now, but in 20 years, these kids are going to graduate. And so, you know, as you talk about that, measuring it from a state standard in Frankfort, Kentucky, okay, but Frankfort ain't Neon. Okay, how do you see it balancing out there? And I'll give it to you, but Desi can do it too if you want. Yeah, and you know what I'm asking there.
Yeah, I do. I'm pretty sure I do. And I think that it's if we approach this our work as educators to get every kid to enroll in college, because that gives you you can say that's a mark of success, but not every child wants to go to college. It's not part of their DNA. They may want to be in a profession as an electrician or a plumber or
if they become
you know,
a plumber,
a trade.
Please give them please give them my number. I need a plumber.
That's it. And part of what we do is steer kids in their education process toward degrees that there are not jobs for them in the communities where they're coming from, because the diversity of employment is not such that you can find an architectural job or be necessarily an engineer. But what we can do is connect with our community leaders, understand what their goals for that community are. And if we are moving toward green energy as a viable option to decrease costs for folks, then can we help our kids understand that that could be a pathway forward for their for their work as they go? And that's just one of many examples. But
it's a great example. And you know, what's interesting about it, I have to say this about Rise Higher, what you're doing now, there's no better time to move in this direction, because remote work, okay, work is everywhere, and work is anywhere you want it to be now, okay? This is a good time to impress upon that. I don't think that's going to change for a long time. The best jobs aren't necessarily in Louisville, okay? The best jobs might be in Neon or Hazard. Okay, because you can work there. Okay,
But it really comes down to how do we improve the quality of life for the folks who live in rural communities.
Yeah,
and someone I was on a panel a year or two ago, and someone had made their closing comment and said that they needed to make rural great again, and not to be political, but my closing comment with respect to that person was that rural was really not the idyllic Andy and Mayberry 1950s TV show right. that we think about. Rural was more like, if you want to equate it to TV, the early years of the Waltons. You know, those folks struggled. And rural communities are often a pretty hard scrabble place. You may not have the access that you need to healthcare or a job or transportation, but there are ways that we can take advantage of the opportunities we have and remake our communities so that the quality of life for the residents, whether young or old, improves itself. And part of that is our responsibility to teach social discourse in school so that kids can be discerning of the truth, how they receive their news, how they receive information, how can they make sure that they are able to understand and that it's just not talking heads influencing their thinking. And then how can we help them become part of the conversation in a real and relevant way about their own future, whether that's their individual future or the collective future of the community where they live or improvements to the school. And there are 50 other elements added to that, yeah. but that's part of the work.
So when you stand up and say that, and I live up here in Maine, you're down in Kentucky, okay, I can't believe there's anybody who would sit and argue with you. Does anybody argue with you? I mean, it's you're dead on right there. I mean, just so logical.
We have not had any arguments in public, but we have had folks who said, you know, that sounds really good, but that's a lot of work to try to figure out how to shift our curriculum in order to do practical, relevant things and enable these kids to be able to score well on a state assessment. And then our
you know, we didn't choose to be teachers because it's easy to quote to quote Judge JFK. We did it because it's hard. It's supposed to be hard.
Yeah, we can do hard things. And
yeah,
what we've found is that when kids are engaged in a project like Desi's Tiny House Project, their attendance goes up. They come to class every day. They want
to
be.
That's not fair. Desi's
only
1 foot tall. You can't count that. Desi's only 1 foot tall. Yeah. Or she has a tiny house. She lives in a shoebox. Right. Sorry, Desi.
But those kinds of learning opportunities do increase the connection of the kid to something
Absolutely.
Beyond themselves, something that's relevant. And it also increases their ability to perform well on an assessment because they have learned the topic or the element of that piece of learning deeply. They're not just getting it so that they can regurgitate it on a test. It becomes a part of who they are. It's embedded
like
in their ability to do well.
Okay, now look at this. Here's the $64,000 one. Desi, you can do this one if you want to. Okay. We were talking about, Jeff mentioned building a culture of resiliency. Okay. And we all had this conversation last week, but I want to do it on air here. Okay. Resiliency is part of the social emotional learning skills. All right. And at various places around the country, you say social emotional learning and the community goes nuts. Okay. Because they don't know what the heck it is. All right. Like I said, we just have to call them resiliency skills. You know, as you talk about these things, okay, do you find that there's resistance within, from what Jeff said, there is pretty much not, okay? And if it's hard, all the better to work. What are you finding with that? I mean, I agree with you. We got to teach these skills to kids, okay? How are we doing on that? And what's the response on it, Desi?
Well, I think that, like Jeff was talking about with the sad part is, and as I've traveled and talked with people, our education department, they make policies that schools are required to implement, and they make so many of these policies that there's just this add-on and this add-on. So what I've tried to do and what Jeff has tried to do when we work with with schools is there's a way to do the work and things that are required. You just have to look at it in a different lens. And so as we talk about SEL skills, and we do try to talk about those in the form of building that culture of resiliency, because that's the main thing of it is to have those strong relationships and bring in the community, and then you can't control all these life-changing events and things that we've just gone through, but you can control how you respond to them.
That's right.
With kids,
and how you rebuild.
Having that support network. And even years ago, whenever we would work with people, you have to think about, we expect kids coming to us knowing how to behave, and many times that's not the case. With so many the diverse backgrounds that kids come from, we have to take that time. And Harry Wong says you have to have a plan. If you don't have a plan in place, you're planning to fail. So, take a few days at the beginning of school to get to know those kids and their families. And if you work with families and bring them in and listen to them and make them feel valued, you have so much more support within that school system. And when I actually first started at KBEC, I was the only safe schools associate, and I started back in 1998, and that's when they had the Columbine shooting. And so helping these districts with their emergency management plan. And so through that and through bringing together people in the community and the schools to develop those plans, then all the districts at KBEC saw the value in having somebody there, which was me, to do that, and then bringing these the community and the people together and complete those plans. And so they wanted me to stay, and that's how I actually ended up there at KBEC for more than 20 years that was mm-hmm. my role. And I never stopped doing that. But I think that helps schools, because we have things in place. We're required to lock the school doors. Well, people in rural communities, they may not understand that the first time that they come to your school. But when Jeff was talking about communication, that's a big thing too, is bringing the parents in and say, these things are in place to help your child, my child, and so everybody wants their child to be safe. And then with the tiny house program, we watched those kids just go from kids who didn't want to be in school and who gave the teachers over to vocational school nightmares, to kids who would be there on the weekends and get their parents
to
bring them on the weekends to work. And I'll say one more thing. And since I've been out here at Mayo, I can find a doctor to do anything. If my eyes are hurting, I can find a doctor to come in there and look at my eyes. But you know what? These people out here, the nurses and everybody that I've talked to, they can't find somebody to do HVAC work. They can't find an electrician.
That's right.
And so I was talking to them about vocational schools and
absolutely.
Absolutely. And so many of them were going to check into that. So I think mainly, we have to work with our teachers to help these kids that have the self-awareness and really help kids, all of them, identify these feelings and these stressors, and then also giving them the tools so that they can have coping skills, and let them know, though, that the main thing is that you're not alone. I remember one of my old professors always said that every kid needed an advocate in schools. And so whenever you can be positive from the principal on down, can you imagine a principal calling a parent and just saying, Mr. Jacobs, I just wanted to let you know that your child did this today, and it was fantastic. And we saw that, and I just wanted to let you know what a good child you have.
Well, I can tell you, I guarantee you, Desi, that my mother never got that call. Okay, I can guarantee you that one. I'll pick another last name. Okay, No, really, you're exactly right. And, you're saying stuff, and this is a weird coincidence. My earlier show today was with a professor of education of Colby College here in Maine named Mark Tappan. And he wrote a book, this is what we talked about, called Trauma Responsive Schooling, which focuses on I'll say SEL, but a way to do trauma responsive schooling in rural schools. Okay, and if I'm going to fix you guys up, I'm going to introduce you and Jeff to Mark today. Okay, it's just
sounds
so
great.
Weird that the two shows wound up on the same day. He's a good he's a good guy, and you guys are fabulous. You know, what I think of you, it's just incredible. I got to ask, okay, Desi, where do you want Rise Higher? Two questions here. Where do you want Rise Higher to go? I have a feel. I know you guys well enough. I think you want to certainly take it out of Eastern, not take it out of, but have it grow from Eastern Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the question is, okay, how do people get in touch with you about this, and what's the next step on this? I don't know if there's a website yet or whatever. Okay, Desi, just talk about that aspect of it, because I think what you're doing is really important. You got to have the schools match the community and make it all come together, or you lose track of the whole thing. So, Desi, what's the next step for all this?
Well, and we've actually worked with a few schools in other states, and so what we want to do is to offer that up and bring our school systems together with the different departments within the school, and then let them reach out to the community, and then we can bring everyone together. And we do have a website. It's rise-higher.org.
Thank you. Rise-hyphen, I'm going to go there, see what happens. Rise-higher.org.
.org.
Dot
org. But it's still under construction.
I know. I'm going to see what happens here. Let's see. Oh, welcome. No, wait a minute. Hold it. This is huge. Okay. No, you go there and you actually see something. Okay. Yeah. This is good. It doesn't say under construction. It says a nice picture. It says, welcome to Rise Higher. Do you know that? It's up there.
Well, we had some difficulty with the internet from the flood service. Internet was slow.
Yeah,
so
what? I'm just telling everybody here, okay, you can go, okay, it's risehigher606@gmail.com if you want to get in touch, risehigher606@gmail.com, and it's rise-higher.org. They're going to make the website better, okay, all the time, right?
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure, because this is really key. What you guys are doing, and everything you touch happens well, okay? You guys are going to make this happen. This connection, we can't afford to lose the connection between schools and community. We got to make them work together, okay? If we really mess it up if we don't do that, okay? And we got to make, and, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to this Dr. Tappan earlier today. We were always talking about how the kids need to have the skills of resiliency, okay? But the fact of the matter is the school districts themselves need a sense of resiliency too.
Yeah.
Okay? And, you know, it's interesting, Jeff, when you said, oh, well, that's going to be hard to do. That's exactly the opposite of what we're trying to teach the kids. Yeah, it may be hard to do. That's why we're going to do it.
That's right.
You know? The school district has to be resilient. That's really what you're talking about, is building a culture of resiliency, not just for the kids, but also for the school district. Okay,
that's right.
Enough of
it
this.
It has to permeate the fabric of the school, the community, the faith community, local government, volunteer organizations, and the attitudes of the individuals who are engaged in that work. And, Larry, I know our time is running short, but I just want to say one other thing.
Go ahead.
We've been working with some folks on how to actually connect within a community who may have been turned off by the school because they had a bad experience once upon a time. Many of our kids don't live with either natural parents. They're being raised by siblings or grandparents or whomever. And they are distrustful of community organizations where they live. They may not have confidence in their local government. So part of our effort is to create because a lot of people do use social media. But we're trying to use social media to map the community about what folks are talking about and who are the connectors within that community, who lives on what road and what organizations are they affiliated with, so that we can draw some of those folks who are not engaged into the conversation and a real piece of work around that conversation. It's not enough for us just to have people talk about doing something. We want them to actually do a thing and be able to look at that and say, okay, we did it with lots of help, lots of resources, lots of people came together. So what's the next thing we need to do? But that, I think, is important to be able to talk about. How do we tap into those folks who are disconnected for one reason or another?
And there's a lot of disconnected people out there. We got to get them reconnected. Okay. And one of the reasons for this, if I do, I just have to say this, you know, we got to stop politicizing everything. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, we got to stop or whatever. Okay. We got to stop politicizing everything. It's kids' lives at stake here. Okay.
Absolutely. It's
that simple. It's communities. You know, if the schools don't work, the kids leave and all that, the community dies. Come on. We don't want that to happen. Not this day and age.
And on a grander scale, it's the future of our country.
How
do we compete? It's not just can NEON move from surviving to thriving. It's how can our country continue to create that place where people can rise up, where they can get better, where they can see tomorrow could be a better day than yesterday. And how do we compete then on an international level with folks who are making huge investments in their education system? And those people are, in some cases, eclipsing the way they are becoming more efficient than we are in the way that they take it, that they use resources. And that investment in people is really what we want to be about. It's not an investment in programs, but it's an investment in the people who live in rural communities.
Hear, hear. We'll do more. Okay. We'll get together again on air. Okay. In a few months, see how you're doing and just keep talking about this and making it happen. You guys are the best. Okay, Desi Bowling and Jeff Hawkins down in Kentucky. I just linked up this show with their website. Okay, so you can go over there and check it all out. All right, Desi, thank you. I'm so glad you're heading back to Kentucky with your sister. That's great.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Are you flying or driving?
Driving.
Oh. Okay, just drive carefully. And Jeff, keep your chin up, buddy. Okay? You make a difference. Okay? I'll talk to you guys soon. Okay.
So do you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. We'll talk again soon. I promise. Okay. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Jeff. The amazing Jeff Hawkins, the amazing Desi Bowling, doctor. Okay. Rise-hire.org. They are such great people. All right. Just such great people. I always love working with them. Okay. We're going to archive the show at Ace. A little crinkle in my voice there, ace-ed.org, and they go over there, you see all the stuff we do. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.